Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We got the power turned on here. Praise the Lord. Yes, we have fire in the hole.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, I have so many praise reports, I had to get a stand. I just can't hold that many in my hand. I know, isn't that amazing? God's so good. Yes, He is. He is. Well, you know, we do a lot of prayer over the email, and so these are coming off the email. Okay.
Wait, before Cheryl tells you this, I want you to know how God changes your life sometimes to do things that you would never do. Like one time when we were coming back from Virginia, the Lord had something. He had two souls that needed to be healed and one that needed to be saved. And if He'd have spoke to me, we were already 12,000 feet and we're going out and we're coming home. We've been gone all week. And all of a sudden we had a problem with the airplane.
I said, is that smoke coming out of there?
Yeah. And so as we had the problem with the airplane, and we're 12,000 feet with smoke coming out of the instrument panel. We made a landing over there, and when we got there and, of course, found out what the problem was and then went to the hotel waiting on a part to come from California. As we got over there, we walked into a restaurant, and this
IHOP.
Young boy, an IHOP, and this young boy there, he said, can I take your order? I said, yes, son, you can take our order, but something I need to know about you first. I said, are you a Christian? He said, my granddad is. I said, I didn't ask you if your granddaddy was a Christian. I want to know, do you know Jesus? And he said, well, no, I do not. So before the day was over, we led that boy to Christ. So anyway, we got him saved.
His name was John.
Yeah, and his name was John. Yeah, and so we left there and went over to the hotel. And as we were over there, we run into a lady over there that was working in the hotel, and she was just getting around like this. So she... Cheryl said, ma'am, is there something wrong with you? And she said, yeah, I'm down in my back, but I got to work. Cheryl said, my husband has a special anointing for backs. She said, Jesus heals people that he prays for. So she said, will you pray for me? And I said, yes. And so I prayed for her, and the Lord instantly healed that woman. The next morning, we run into another woman in there that had the same kind of problem. And we got her healed. She was down her back, too. And finally, after it was all over, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if you'd only told me, I would have landed here and got these people saved and healed, and then I wouldn't have to go through all this problem with the airplane and getting a part. And I said, and the part cost $2,400. You know, I said, Lord, we could have did this a different way. He said, if I'd have told you you were in such a hurry to come home, you'd have just come right on home. So he said, I know how to get you to stop. Make smoke come out of the instrument panel. That'll cause you to stop. So anyway, I was telling a lady a while ago, I said, God's changed the way Cheryl and I do things. Somebody asked me if we were still traveling. I said, yes, but not as much as we used to. But I said, he's done a different thing. If you'd have told me a few years ago that the day was going to come, that every night, virtually every night, 7 days a week, that I would be laying in bed with my wife, and she's reading emails to me, I'm diagnosing the situation to see what's wrong with these people, and then we're praying the prayer of faith, and then we turn it over to the Lord, and then we write back and tell the people, now we have remitted your sins, we have canceled the curse because of what Jesus did, now we pray the prayer of faith for you, and I guarantee you're healed if you'll believe. And these reports are what we're getting back. She says we're getting so many back, she has to have a stand to put them all on. Who would ever dreamed a man that never seen a praise report in his life at the Baptist church? I mean, I was raised in a Baptist church, and I never, never saw anything happen from the pulpit in a Baptist church. I just never saw it. Who would dream that same guy would be laying in bed with his wife praying for people all over the world? Now, these emails are coming in from all over the world. One of them, I think one of them, the one you're going to read tonight, is about the little girl from Spain. Is that, she's in there?
But don't tell them.
I won't tell them.
Don't tell them. You don't know the story. Don't tell them.
I'm just telling you, who would ever dream that you would get to pray for people that's in Spain or Calcutta or you name it, And then Croatia. A few days later, we get these praise reports back, and now they're getting to be so many, we've got to have a stand to put them all on.
Praise God, is what I say.
Is God good or is he good?
He's great.
I just want y'all to know how good God is, and he's answering prayer, and you can get it done from your bedroom. Amazing. Isn't that amazing?
It must be highly anointed.
You can be laying in the bed, and God will he'll answer your prayer laying in the bed.
Right. All right. Okay. Hi, this is Connie in Crockett, Texas. I'm asking you to pray for healing for Kim Goodwin. I've been giving her your CDs for several months, and she's listening avidly. She passed out in church tonight and almost had a seizure. One lady and I prayed, rebuked Satan, and she improved greatly. Someone called the EMS emergency, and I followed them to the hospital. Also, please agree with me for wisdom for me in this situation. I love y'all. Thank you so much. Then she wrote back 2 hours later. I wrote to her 2 hours later. That was it. Seizures are unforgiveness. We remitted her sins according to John 20:23. We rebuked the enemy and commanded him to get his hands off of her according to Luke 10:19-20. See, I'm trying to give her so she knows what to pray when she gets there. We broke all curses off her according to Galatians 3:13-14. Then we prayed in agreement that the Lord would heal her and ask for wisdom for you, using Matthew 18:19. And I said in parentheses, if by myself I like John 14:13-14. You need to get her to repent of whomever she has unforgiveness toward, then pray for her. We prayed and it's done. And I knew her and I said, love you too. Praise the Lord. Pastor Thurman and Cheryl. She wrote back, let's see, the next day, the following, like 30 minutes later. Praise the Lord. All tests are normal and I'm taking her home. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Okay. Dear Pastor, praise the Lord. Last month I brought my mother, Lula Dawson, and my sister, Paula Hicks, to your healing school. My mother was diagnosed with cancer in the stomach lining last year, but we didn't do anything because of her age. After that, she moved with me to Acworth, Georgia from Virginia. She had PAD, peripheral artery disease, and her left leg started to deteriorate. She was told the only thing they could do was to amputate her left leg immediately. I brought her to see you, and this was before the healing skill, and you built her faith up and laid hands on her, and blood began to flow through that leg right then. I took her to a different doctor, and he did a bypass on her leg, left leg, and she's been walking ever since. Well, about 3 months ago, she started vomiting up her food because her bowels had become blocked. I had to put her in the hospital twice, and the last time she went, they said she had spikes on her liver, and they concluded that the cancer had spread and possibly could be causing the problem with her bowels. Well, after she came to the healing school, and this is the last healing school, she laid around for about 4 more days, and when we got back to Georgia, life began to come back in her. She hasn't thrown up anymore. She's eating more, walking up and down the stairs, bathing and dressing herself. She looks better. Praise be to the King. Thank you, Pastor Scrivener, for your obedience to God. I'll see you again soon. Say hello to Cheryl and Miss Jackie for me. One day I called the prayer line and Miss Jackie prayed for me. I was stressed, and when she prayed for me, I couldn't stop laughing. Stress left. Praise the King, Crystal Hosey. And I think this woman was like 88, as I recall. Yes, she was pretty up there. I won't say that's old since I'm getting closer. Okay. All right. This is Dorothy Howell, and it was about diabetes. She's a diabetic nurse. Okay. Yeah, okay. I've noticed it. They do dialysis nurse. That's what I meant to say. I've noticed that most of my dialysis patients have diabetes before they have kidney failure. Some of my friends I'm finding out are pre-diabetic. I just counseled some with my pastor yesterday, and she told me she had high blood sugar a few times and has been very ill for about a month. We are non-denominational, but she is not at your level. Her ministry is fasting and praying, but she doesn't believe God will make you sick or kill you. Deuteronomy 32:39. Anyway, I didn't come right out and tell her there's a sin issue, but I did tell her through your teaching, I've learned that certain sins cause certain sicknesses. She is a prophetic pastor, and I received word that the enemy has been attacking me and trying to kill me because I've been praying with, and some of my patients are receiving miracles. I've been passing out your DVDs and CDs and teach all my dialysis patients about sins, going to church, putting God first, and reading their Bible every day. Last week, as I came into my patient room, a young man with type 1 diabetes with below knee amputation, he had his Bible open and reading it. I was filled with so much joy because I'd been witnessing to him every time he came to the hospital, 3 times in the last month. Another patient was on his deathbed, a young man on dialysis and was intubated. I prayed for him, remitted his sins, and asked God to heal him so I can teach him about Jesus. 3 days later, I came to do his dialysis, and he was completely well, except for still needing the dialysis. But I taught him about the word, sins, and what Jesus would do if he made God first in his life. Those are just a couple of testimonies, but my question is, what sin causes diabetes? I know type 1 is parent sin, but type 2 diabetes is a different sin. One more thing, my one brother listens to your CDs all the time. Well, now my other brother has started listening to you, and he hasn't been to church in over 20 years. Wow. I'm praying through your teaching it will bring all my brothers and sister into Christ. As for my husband, I still have not been able to get him to go to church or read the Bible with me. I'm still holding on. My baby is due in December. I have to have a C-section, so I'm praying and have put all my trust in God's hand. Praise God.
So, who would ever dream you have that kind of an impact from a bedroom? You should be somewhere else, right? Who would dream you could be laying in bed? You're supposed to be sleeping when you're in bed, but you're laying in there praying for people. And look at the power that's available to you. And all you're doing is laying there in bed. Isn't that something? God don't care where you are when you pray, does he?
No.
He just wants you to pray, and he wants you to pray in faith. Well, praise the Lord.
Okay, I think I told y'all some about this before. This was a woman, Theodora, that she was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer in 2015, had numerous surgeries, treatments. There are 7 children. Our father was murdered 15 years ago. His family has never meant well for us. Anyway, she goes on wanting prayer for her mother for complete healing. So we tell her what causes colon cancer. And then we say the mother needs to call in cancer's unforgiveness and bitterness, and her sins have to be dealt with. And I gave her some links about unforgiveness and said her mother needed to call the ministry. She said, well, they did call, talk to Jenny, and they dealt with unforgiveness, bitterness. Thanks for the links. And then they had additional questions about about forgiveness. My mom and siblings and I have forgiven and released my father's family for what they did to us. We've also dealt with and let go of years and years of bitterness. My question is, in dealing with unforgiveness and bitterness, do we have to call the people who wronged us to let them know we've forgiven them? Okay. So you mentioned they did start seeing some of her mother's healing come slowly, or the cough she'd had for 2.5 months disappeared suddenly last week. The cough was a result of tumors in her lungs. I know God's doing this and will complete what he started in her life. And she asked, could she keep calling the ministry? We said, yes. He told her to call the people you had unforgiveness with and tell them that you forgive them and love them. You want to be in a love walk with everyone with no bitterness or unforgiveness, for none of us know when we draw our last breath. And yes, you can call the ministry center anytime. And here's a link on how to forgive and forget. Okay, and how to pray for anyone. So she said, I've called my uncle. My mother's been too weak to talk. So I stood in the gap for her, called and forgave them. I talked to her beforehand. She forgave them, released them. But she's been too weak to talk or call them. So she wants to know what happens in that kind of situation. Also, her mother's sister had passed away with cancer. And okay, then we told her she could stand in the gap for the mother, remember her sins with John 20:23, and praise the Lord for your mother's healing. The Lord loves to be praised. And she asked again, could we pray for her mother? Her name was Theodora, and we prayed for her. Then she said, I made a mistake. I reread your email, realized that when I called my uncle a few weeks ago, I forgave him and the family, but did not ask for forgiveness. After listening to the teaching, I tried to call back a few times, ask for forgiveness, reciprocate on my behalf of my mom. He's been screening my calls and will not pick up. He's in Nigeria. I'm in the States. I need guidance, not sure what to do. And so I wrote back and said, we're coming to Baltimore, because they were fairly close. I think they were around New York. Said, so if you can't come to the meeting, then send another email. Well, she says, we'll be there. She updated, said, my sisters will bring my mother on Thursday. Her name is Theodora. Well, they did bring her. She was in a wheelchair. She was about my size, and her legs were at least that big around, the size of a plate. They looked awful, as well as she had, you know, things coming out of her. So we prayed for her and made sure that all sins were taken care of. We went through all of that with her. That was on Thursday. On Thursday, she was not able to move. Oh, thank you, Pastor Thurman and Cheryl, for praying for my mom on Thursday. On Thursday, she was not able to move. She was being moved around in a wheelchair, as you saw. After praying for her on Thursday, by Friday, she started using a walker, and by Saturday, she started walking with minimal assistance from us. We can see the hands of God in her healing, and we look forward to seeing the full manifestation of her healing in Jesus' name.
Does God answer prayer?
Does
the Master answer prayer? Boy, this is the funnest job I ever had.
It's really not a job. Okay, this is from Sheila. That was from Obi, was her name.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, Lord. Okay, this lady had written us and wanted us to pray because they were in the path of one of the hurricanes. Okay, Sheila. I want y'all to know how awesome God is. My daughter and I live 30 miles west of where the eye of the hurricane Nate hit. I stayed because I had a strong unction from the Holy Spirit to pray against the storm when it came close. Also, I emailed and Pastor Scribner prayed for us. We also did as he told us and prayed Psalm 91 over us and our church family. The weather report kept trying to put the eye of the storm over our home, and even a person I know in Pascagoula, Mississippi, tried to say that the eye of the storm was coming over us. During the night, I prayed over the storm that God would lessen the winds and not allow any tornadoes and push the storm further east of us. I also asked him to protect all of the people in our neighborhood and keep our power on. The neighborhood I live in was a trailer park before Hurricane Katrina hit. This is where the eye of Katrina hit. It was completely flattened at that time. We rent a home here that is referred to as a Katrina cottage. The houses are above ground on pilings and straps. We have had thunderstorms in the past where it felt like our house was moving. We had some very strong gusts last night. But I am telling you how amazing my Lord is. Not once did we feel the house move. I was given a prophetic word about a year and a half ago. The Lord said he was holding my daughter and I with his pinions. Wow. That was when I started to read Psalm 91 pretty often over us. Last night, I felt him holding our whole house with us with his wings. We have satellite internet, and we usually lose signal with a rainstorm or clouds. We never lost signal, and our entire neighborhood never lost electricity. I thank God for you and your prayers for Jesus reigning over our lives and protecting us. God bless you, Sheila Despot Panino, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Luke 1:37.
Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, it's great, great, great. Praise the Lord.
Okay.
Wow.
This came from Bill Wagner, and the title of it is A Wonderful Las Vegas Law Enforcement Officer Named Tina Ellison. Okay. Today I was led to October 3rd. Today I was led to contact the Las Vegas Police Department in searching for the right location. I accidentally discovered on the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department page a separate section called the 20th Anniversary of the Law Enforcement Memorial, which was run by a Tina Ellison. I called the telephone number shown on the website, and Tina picked up the phone. I told her how sorry I was about the carnage that took place a few hours earlier and learned from her that an off-duty Las Vegas female police officer had been slain in the killing spree. After advising her about what we are doing here in Texas with furnishing the Psalm 91 cards to the police, DPS, and now the sheriffs, and now sending the cards through the other states shown in red on a map on our website, I then asked her if they would like to have enough cards for all of her fellow police officers in Las Vegas along with the sheriffs. She was overjoyed at the idea and said that they had a total of 3,000 first-line defenders at the main office where she worked and 1,000 more people at the other two locations. I will mail the cards first thing tomorrow morning. In Las Vegas, the police and sheriffs are under the same jurisdiction and work together. She told me that my call was to the right place to inquire, and she personally would see that every officer received a card, even in the other law enforcement locations. Needless to say, the door is open. And when I told her about the large picture frame of Psalm 91 seen on our website under the gallery that Rafael Hernandez prepared several months ago, we wanted President Trump to have but could not get in any opening on how to get it to him. She advised me that her best friend, who works for the Trump Hotel there in Vegas, sees the president several times a month or two. He must be a manager, she did not say. However, she's going to fill him in on the cards being sent by us to the officers through her and show him what our website has, including the picture frame of Psalm 91 intended for President Trump. He needs our prayers and Psalm 91 to protect him and his family.
Amen.
This may be our best connection yet. We are moving at a good level now, and soon we hope to get more into the military area along with the veterans and their close family members. She told me that this, for both of us, was a divine appointment, and I agreed with her totally. And, oh, yeah, she's going to send photos and spread the Psalm 91 Heroes news. I also enclosed with the cards Peggy Joyce Ruth's Psalm 91 book on short testimonies, of which one is now on our current card that's on page 129, 25 cross label lapel pins in the shipping box. The Lord is leading the way. Bill Wagner.
Yeah, it's lots of fun. Praise the Lord. The servant of God that answered prayer. Telling you, wow.
Okay, we're going to pass out these yellow sheets. As you can see, it is the Christmas season. When you walked in, you saw all kinds of things that tells you Christmas is here. And let me tell you, Christmas is here. We already have wrapped presents in the library. I'm already halfway through. In 4 days, I did four overnight, I went to bed at 5 o'clock in the morning. I went to bed at 7 o'clock in the morning. I went to bed at 9 o'clock in the morning. And I went to bed at 8 o'clock in the morning. I worked 73 hours in 4 days.
Amen. Praise
the Lord. I can do all things through Christ.
Amen.
Anyway, praise the Lord. We've raised approximately $21,000. I've spent approximately $14,800. I've bought almost all the gift items except for... And I have other people buying things, too, except for, like, some things where I don't have exact sizes, or we had three kids that wanted gymnastic sponsorship, so Candace is working on that. I have one boy that has a martial arts sponsorship that he wants. And so all that's left, and Grace and Mike are, again, going to provide the electronics, all that's left is I have to go to Kohl's to buy all the clothes, the things that they've requested, as well as normally we buy each child four outfits and usually two pairs of shoes. So I have all that to do. I've already talked to the Kohl's manager at South Lake, and she's already setting up everything for me. So things are going well, but again, we need money, as always. You need money to be able to buy things. So if you give an offering or check, just notate it Children or Christmas so that I'll know that it goes to that, to the Christmas benefit. This is our 16th annual Christ Haven for Children Christmas benefit. Last year we raised $173,650. We gave Christmas to 11,942 children, teen moms, elderly, and 220 families, and we fed 133 homeless Christmas dinner. That was really something last year.
Amen.
And so I want to thank all of y'all for that, because, you know, if you didn't help, we couldn't do this. So thank you for that. And you're also, with these little yellow sheets, you're invited. If you haven't ever been to, it's a lot of fun. You get to see Peggy wash dishes sometimes. Peggy meals. And so it's like everybody comes and the kids eat dinner and then we eat dinner. And then after that, then we present. Oh, and I also have to have 75 Six Flag tickets. I don't even know what they cost this year. I haven't looked it up. So that's, I think last year it was over 6,000. But anyway, I have that to do also. And so we present all of that to them first. And Putt-Putt always sends me free gifts and some cards. And sometimes I get it from Mesquite Rodeo. So we give them all that, and then we give them their special gift. And also, keep me in prayer for this. There's one little boy, Sirius, he's 13, and he is into Russell Westbrook. I didn't know who Russell was until, because I'm not watching basketball. But I didn't know he was like the triple threat guy. He was the highest in shots and rebounds and assists, I think. And so he has this special T-shirt. That's it says why not zero. I think it's number zero, and on the back it lists all his accomplishments. Well, I can find the triple XL, but I can't find the small. So finally, I've called everybody. I've talked to people, and so I just thought, you know, I'm going to call his. I'm going to write his foundation. So he's a huge star. He has a car lot, and he gives cars away to people and stuff. He's just really a generous man. Does a lot for his community. And So I wrote him last night and said, okay, this is this boy. And his big wish list was a pair of black RW, Jordan RW 0.2 black shoes. Okay, size 10, if you care. Anyway, so we already got those, and those were $88, so that wasn't terrible. But that was his big gift. Well, Ferris has been there, I'd say about 6 years. He's been there a while. He's 13, so he's been there since he's a little boy. And so, I like to give them what they want. I found some other little T-shirts, $20, $30. I got him two or three T-shirts of Russell Westbrook, but not the one he really wants, which is the big deal. You know, it's got this big zero. It's got a white and black, and then it's got on the back, it's got all these accomplishments. So keep me in prayer that the Why Not Foundation, Russell Westbrook's foundation, is going to... I told them I would donate to the foundation. I thought that was incentive, you know, to help this little boy. And I said, we're trying to fulfill his Christmas wish list, you know, and said that they're abused, abandoned, neglected children. So, you know, and I sent him the sheet. I threw that into it, too, so they know that we're legitimate and everything. And so I'm believing that Russell Westbrook or someone in this Why Not Foundation staff is going to be moved and find me that T-shirt.
Amen.
In Jesus'
name. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow. I don't think we ever had a time with so many praise reports. I've never had a problem like this. Wow. Wow. Who knows what all is fixing to happen? I don't know if you're keeping up with the news at all. If you may be like me, I don't watch a whole lot of news anymore. So, but I do listen to a little bit of other kind of news. You can't listen to the secular news because they only tell you what they want you to hear anyway. So you listen to some of these other news places and then some of the Christian stuff, and I do listen to some Daystar and TBN and so stuff like that, and there is some good information there. But one of the things I've noticed listening to some of the programs on Christian television is that what our government is doing for as the peace agreement in Israel. I've never heard this. I don't watch much secular news, but what little secular news I do watch, I have heard nobody say anything about peace in Israel. You know, I just haven't heard it. But when you listen to Christian television, you get a hold of people that talk about this. And they're saying that, you know, that Trump, President Trump, has worked diligently to get peace in the Middle East. I mean, you just virtually don't hear that. But when you hear it on Christian television, these people, these pastors and these prophets and so forth, men that are listening, saying that, you know, President Trump is doing everything in his power to make peace with the Middle East. And even the Middle East are saying, now that Trump is in there and he's working for it, we should be able to get this done. Now, when the Palestinians and the Israelis together say that with Trump's guidance, we ought to be able to make this work. When I heard that, I thought, man, I think I'd done a dance in my office, on the desk, jumped up on top of the desk and everything, thinking, do you know, I said, Lord, do you remember what you said is going to happen when they make peace in Israel? When the Palestinians, do you remember what he said is going to happen? He's coming back. That's right. He's coming back. Jesus is coming back. So just think, what if they do? I mean, if Trump is working, of course, they may not make it fly, but at least if Trump is a good negotiator, and the Middle East and all of them over there, including Israel, they all understand and know how good of a negotiator he is. And what if he does swing this thing? And what if it does hit secular news that the Palestinians and the Israelis have signed a 7-year peace agreement? Oh my goodness gracious! When that happens, you won't need to have a microphone to hear me holler. Because I guarantee, when that happens, we know we only got such a little short piece of time left. So if you got loved ones that are not ready to go home to be with Jesus, you better be working on them.
Yeah, right.
Because, you know, the last thing you want is that I watched a movie here a while back. I don't know who made it, but there was a pastor, and he was preaching in a little church, kind of like this one. And he was talking about something, and all of a sudden, they heard this boom, and he's standing there looking, and the pastor's still standing there. This is not a good sign. One over here, one back there, and one back there, and one over here, and they're all saying, they said, "What happened? Where did everybody go?" And the pastor said, "Oh my God, it was real. There really is going to be a rapture. It just happened. And we all got left behind." And I thought, I wonder how many churches that's going to be. Wonder how many. I mean, it's sad that any of them get left, but for a pastor, I mean, just think, I can't even imagine that, to get left behind, and the next 7 years is going to be hell on earth. Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's going to be beyond your wildest dreams. If you think for a second, anything we've encountered. In fact, when the Lord said, just before my return, there will be increase in storms and everything. I mean, everything known to men. Fires, you know, I mean, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes. I mean, everything's going to increase with a great frequency just before I return. I have never seen five hurricanes in one time, one right after the other, with wind speeds of 185 miles an hour. So when they're talking about the one that's fixing to hit the coast down here, that's only 100 and maybe 110 or 120, I thought, gee, this thing here, it's a piece of cake. Yeah. I mean, used to 120, that was some storm, right? Yeah. Now then, it's nothing. And we're fixing to have another one hit. Sometime today, if it hadn't already hit. I don't know, I hadn't watched any news today, so I don't know. It's already hit. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, everything is being set up, lined up, perfect for the return of the King. Are you ready? Because you better be. Because you know what? If there's anything I've learned recently, most people, even church people, they put their emphasis on stuff. We want to protect my house, protect my car. I don't want nothing here. You know, forget that nonsense. You know, leave that car alone. Let that sucker run off of a cliff. You know, let the earthquake open up, let it fall in. But you just don't want to be there with it. If you do, you want to make sure you're saved when you fall in. You don't want to be like Moses and that group. You know, you remember that story that everybody said, you know, well, this is something to think about. Moses was doing the best he could to manage these millions of people. And as he's doing the best he can, there's some people over there said that he's not doing a good enough job and we need to help him do this. And so Moses said, okay, we just draw a line in the sand. We'll take a stick, take my stick, we'll draw a line. Now everybody that believes that God called me to do this, come over here on this side of the sand. Everybody that believes that they're going to go over there with him on that side. I mean, this is a true story.
Yeah, it is.
And so some of the people looked and said, well, I'm going to go with Moses. He's done a pretty good job. I'm going to go with Moses. Others said, well, I believe that Moses is not doing a good job. We're going with these other folks. So they step across the line of sand. They get over there on the other side. And when they get over there on the other side, all of a sudden the ground, I mean, it ain't just a little bitty hole in the ground. If you think that hole in Mexico the other day down there where that had that hurricane, not a hurricane, but an earthquake, had an earthquake, that thing opened up and the road fell in and everything, at least it still had a bottom you could see. But can you imagine stepping over there and all of a sudden the ground just disappear? I mean, it didn't just open up a hole in the ground. The solid ground just disappeared. And there was no bottom. You could look down and all you could see is flames of fire somewhere way, way, way down there. It'd be like falling out of an airplane at 50,000 feet. You're gliding through the air looking at this nice warm heat coming up out of this hole in the ground. And, I mean, I'm serious. This really did happen. I mean, it wasn't just a little bitty hole open up in the ground.
No.
And whenever they fell and they're falling and everybody's screaming, and all of a sudden, the ground just closed back up on top. And what happened to those folks? They're down there somewhere. I don't know where they went, but they never did see them again. And you know, this is what really gets me. The next day, the people that didn't get killed, they come here and said, "Moses, you did that. You killed those people. You made them people fall in that hole. You done that." Can you believe the stupidity of us as human beings? Wow, if we're going to believe this lie. I'm telling you, as a warning, and you know I give these warnings quite often, if you're not ready for the ground to open up and you fall in, because it could happen. I mean, you know, the thing about it is, you could fall in that hole too. You know, somebody says, no, I'm not on that side. Okay, now let me put it to you this way. Sometimes the people you're hanging around will have more of an impact on you than you think. In other words, the things that are happening to you could be a result of negative people that's all around you that's not willing to obey God. You could be sick and afflicted. Your car could be getting wrecked. You could loan your car out to somebody. You ain't never had a wreck in your life. But somebody comes by and said, I can't drive my car. My insurance is expired, so can I use yours to go to town? You say, sure, get in, no problem. You give them the key. And they take off, and since that person's under a curse because he couldn't pay his insurance, so now you're under a curse, so he wrecks your car before he gets back. You think, now how did this happen? I'm not under a curse. Yeah, you were when you got in the boat with this guy. And you just stop and think, that could not happen. But let's stop and think about Jonah. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. Did he not? He said, Jonah, I want you over there. I need you to go over and tell them people they're sinning. I want you to go over there and preach to them. Tell them I'm not going to put up with this nonsense. They don't stop sinning. I'm going to destroy Nineveh. Jonah, I can just see him now. He said, them Ninevites, I don't like them anyway. I mean, I don't like those boys. So, okay, God, I ain't going. In fact, I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm just going to go down here and get on a boat, and I'm going to take a cruise. So Jonah goes down there and he gets in a boat, and these guys, they all get started out there, and all of a sudden they get out there and the wind starts getting up, and it's getting up, and the wind is blowing. I mean, the waves are getting high. Now then, all of a sudden, these guys that are not even Christians, like Jonah supposedly, he's supposed to be a believer, they said, somebody has angered the gods. This is not a normal storm. Okay, what we just gone through the last few months, was it normal storms?
No.
What did you notice about those storms? They were record-breaking.
Yes.
Not just one, but all of them. I never heard of 185-mile-an-hour wind sustained for days until this season. Have you ever heard of that? Evidently, the news that I watched hadn't either, because they said they've never, ever, ever seen those kind of storms. Is that right?
Only Camille came close.
Yeah, they'd never seen them. I'd never seen them. But it's just over and over and over, storms of all kinds, unbelievable storms. And these people, if you were down there in amongst those people, living like those people lived, you were angering the gods, the one and only true God. And he was, you look at it, retaliating. He was judging sin, and you just happened to be getting the mist. Now, if you were a good, active Psalm 91 person, he could still be protecting you and your family from getting killed. But some of you, just like this one woman that wrote this article, you know, she's, you know what I wanted to tell this woman whenever she called and said, Pastor, the storm has hit in whatever part of Florida they were in, and the winds are blowing extremely hard. Please pray. I looked at myself for a second and I thought, woman, they've been telling you for 3 days to get out. What are you doing down there staying in the stupid storm when they've been screaming at you day after day, get out, the 185 mile an hour winds are coming, get out, what's wrong with you? I mean, is that the normal way to think? That's what I would be thinking, right? Get out. I told Cheryl, I said, honey, if that was you and me, and they said that thing was fixing to hit here, I said, we'd load up a trailer and a pickup and put what we had to, and we'd head north. I ain't staying, and I thought, no. Oh, you have little faith. But see, I'm still a human being. Sometimes we don't have the faith we need. But anyway, I told Cheryl, I said, okay, let me get down here and let me call on the mercy of God. So we called on the mercy of God. We asked God to forgive them and forgive all the people down there. And we've learned that God said we can remit sins. So we remitted their sins. Now, when we remit their sins and pray for forgiveness of their sin, does God hear your prayer?
Yes, He does.
Yes, He does. Just like if Jesus was praying, same deal, no difference. So we prayed for those people, and then we asked God to be merciful, and we broke the curse and prayed all the things we do and everything. And look, did you remember what Cheryl read? What happened to that family? Did they lose power?
No internet.
They didn't even lose power. But yet when she called, the world fixing to fall apart. The world is falling apart. What, honey?
She wanted to know if they should leave, and we told them no to pray.
Yeah, it's too late now. Don't leave now. Just stay in the house and pray. And if enough of us pray, what happened? That's just like this Miss Mueller. There's an elderly lady that, when she got a hold of this ministry years ago, she lived in Florida. She has a restaurant in Florida. Cheryl and I have eaten in that restaurant. But she had a restaurant down there. And one of the ladies that works with her told us, while she was fixing us something to eat, she said, you have changed this woman's life. You have no idea the impact you've had on her in her faith walk. But she said the first storm that came here after she learned about this, she asked God to please let there be no damage to her house. And said there was not one shingle that was lost on her house. But said the power went out for a week and had all kinds of stuff. Said the next time it came by, she had a whole lot more faith. The next year, when a storm come by, this time she says, Lord, I saw you when I prayed to ask you not to let a shingle be damaged on my house. You protected my house, and I did not have one single shingle blow off my house. So, Lord, this time I have more faith than I had last year. And now I'm asking you not to let the power go off to my house. The storm came and went, and she had no loss of power. Before, she had losses of power for over a week. Well, the next year when there was another one, she said, okay, Lord, I'm still studying. I'm listening to Pastor Thurman. I'm believing more. He's teaching your word. So I believe that I can have, this time when this hurricane comes, I believe I can have here with no damage to my house, no damage to anybody on my block, no power out on my block, and everything's going to be good on my entire block, and it's not going to damage anybody's house on my block. You said I could have what I asked for in faith. So, Lord, I know you can do it. I've seen you do everything this last 3 years. So thank you for answering my prayer this time in Jesus' name. And after that storm was over, she called me and she said, Pastor, keep up the good work. She said, I never lost a shingle. Nobody in my block lost a shingle. And we had no power loss for a whole, like everybody last year had power loss for at least a week. She said, this time we have no power loss. She said, keep up the good work. But who is the one told us we could do all this stuff?
Lord.
If the Lord told us we could do all this, don't you think that we ought to be doing it? Yeah. In fact, I got tickled at Kim. Kim come over. Sharon was off Friday, and Jenny was gone to Nashville or somewhere. And so Kim says, I'll come over and answer some prayer calls for you. So she come out and she said there was two ladies. One of them was 91.
Yep, and one was about to be 93.
And the other one was 93. And she says when they called in for prayer, they said something like this, because they've been listening to the ministry for a while. They told her, said, when Kim's building their faith and everything, they said, oh, that's okay, Miss Kim. All you need to do is just pray for us. We know when you pray for us, it's a done deal.
Amen.
Now, isn't that?
She got healed.
And she got healed right there.
She had a broken leg. That was when you were the
GLC story. Oh, that's right. I had forgotten. Whenever Kim asked her, said, how did you meet Pastor Scrivener? She said, he used to be on GLC, the television network out in West Texas. And she says, I had a broken leg, and they had a call-in time at the station, and I had broken my leg, and said, after the program, the two-hour live program was over, they took calls, and she said, so I called, and I asked for Pastor Scrivener to pray for my leg, and she said, he prayed for my broken leg, and instantly my broken leg was completely healed. Oh, you left it in the printer? So you didn't even get them all, huh?
No, I didn't get them all. Can I read it now?
Isn't it amazing to serve a God that answers prayer?
Amen.
You don't want to be like me. You don't want to use my example because, see this leg, I was on the phone and I couldn't see what was going on, so I just had faith for it, and God knew I had faith for it, so he healed her leg. But when I was in Minneapolis that time, whenever I was teaching all day, every day for a week, and one of those days, this young man, Mark, he come in and he says, when we go to the evening meal at 6:00, I want you to come out and pray for my dog, Sam, said that he's got a broken leg. I said, what happened? He said, a big truck ran over him right here in this joint and crushed his leg, and the doctor said, you'll have to amputate the leg. And so he said, oh goodness, I want you to pray and ask God to heal Sam. I said, okay. I thought, back in those days, I was not a dog lover at all. So I said, okay. So I gobbled down my food right quick. And I said, okay, let's run out there and pray for Sam. So we go out there, and Sam, she's in the van. And I looked up there, she's got the side door open, and there's Sam standing there, and her little legs just flopping around in the wind like this. And all of a sudden, I said, oh, God. I said, oh, Lord. I mean, I got to have faith for a stupid dog. I got people. I got people in there I need to pray for. I can't get healed. Here's a dog, Mark. So anyway, Mark said, well, will you pray for our pastor? And I said, sure, no problem. So I did something real stupid, you know, like walked up there and said, okay, Sam, be healed in Jesus' name. You know, that's all I did. I mean, did Jesus say lay hands on the sick and they'll recover? You know, so I just did something stupid like that, just kind of laid hands on him. And I said, okay, let's go back and finish our dinner. And Mark said, don't you want to see her run? And I thought, my God, why don't you give Jesus a few minutes to heal this stupid dog? You know, give her at least a few minutes. And just as soon as I said that, don't you want to don't you want to see her run? And I said, my gosh, won't you give her God some time? And all of a sudden, Sam jumped out of that van, hit the ground with both bronze legs, and just ran like a river rabbit. Wow. Run off across there, turned around, and come back and jumped up on me. I reached down, and I actually stopped and knelt down and reached down and grabbed the leg and felt it. And I thought, God, somebody had to have some faith here, and it certainly wasn't me. I said, Mark, was you standing in faith for your day? He said, Pastor, I knew when you prayed for my dog, she was going to be healed. I said, there it is. There's the faith we had. But y'all understand where I'm coming from? I mean, somebody's got to have some faith. And Mark had the faith. And, of course, I don't have any idea how many times we've been back to Minneapolis since that happened. But every time we go up there, Mark, he's always there, and he's always bringing Sam out there in the car. So we have to go out and look at Sam. I mean, do y'all understand we serve an awesome God? And that God is fixing to come.
Amen.
He's coming back. He's coming back soon. But he knew what he had to do to me to put me in that bed every night because I'm too much of a, I mean, I'm a goer. You know, I'd much rather be out flying an airplane or messing around. But God knew I wasn't going to get my prayers answered doing that. So he had to do what he did to me to put me in that bed with my wife every night. Virtually every night. We don't do it every night, but we're pretty close.
Yeah.
Pretty close to every night. We lay down there in that bed.
Here's another one.
And I got another one. What was this?
This is one about Spain.
One about what?
This is from Spain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh, the stained one.
I left it in the printer.
I wonder where that went.
Well, I left it in the printer. I've got
Let her read this to you right quick.
Okay. Good night. Let's see. Okay. Searching in the internet about healing miracles for Down syndrome, I found that God has used it before. My name is Sandra, mother of a baby diagnosed of that syndrome and also of a serious congenital heart disease that requires surgery during this month, October. We live in Spain, and we ask you to pray for God to do a complete miracle in her, cardiac and genetic, and not have to be operated because your heart is normal. I thank you very much. I hope you can read this message. It brings infinite hope for me to know that God has done it before through your life. God bless you. We wrote her, we have prayed and it is done. Both the mother and father need to walk holy before God, get rid of all anger, rage, and bitterness, walk in love with everybody. Praise the Lord, Pastor Thurman. She wrote back the next, actually it was during that day. She wrote at 8:15 at night, and the next morning at 2:39 a.m. is when she wrote back. Thank you very much. I was surprised by the speed in the response. I think God is doing something. It's early morning. The baby was very restless and cried in pain, then calmed down and is now more in need of arms like when she gave her first vaccines. Never before has this happened to us. She always sleeps very quietly. We think with my husband that something is happening in her from God. God bless you, and we will be in touch to tell you what God does. Again, thank you very much for replying to this message from the bottom of my heart. God bless you, Sandra.
Amen, amen, and amen. If we only believe, just think. Jesus told us as his church over and over and over, only believe. Is that what he said?
Yes.
Only believe, and nothing shall be impossible with you. Nothing. So I guess I don't understand as many people as I've had the privilege to lay hands on and see healed, and to think that sometimes it seems like I have no faith at all. It's amazing. In fact, when you take those scriptures where Jesus said, if you only believe, nothing shall be impossible with you. We really don't believe that, do we? I mean, after all, who is he? Only God? He's only God. What can he do? Anything you can believe him for, you have to believe. And that's why some people don't get healed, because they have no faith. They don't believe that he can do what he said and what he promised he would do. So when they don't believe, they don't get their answer. You have to step out in faith to see God do something. Those that come to me must come to me in faith. Nothing wavering, nothing wavering. He can do things that's beyond your wildest dreams. I think about the miracles that God would want to do in this last day. But when God says, be ye holy, for I am holy, what do you think he meant? I mean, if you've been to a church all your life, that doesn't say that you can even think about walking holy. I mean, you know, you're just an absolute sinner saved by grace, and don't even think that you can walk holy, because only God can walk holy. That's really not true. You can walk holy because God lives in you. Does he not? I mean, according to his word, he does. He lives in us. And so if he says, be ye holy, for I am holy, let me tell you, if you want to see God do wonderful things in your life, you want to see him answer your prayer, you're going to have to learn how to walk holy. You're going to have to learn how to stop sinning. How can you stop sinning? Be led by the Spirit of God. I don't know how many people. In fact, Romans 8:1. Let's go to Romans 8:1. I want to show you something here. Romans 8:1 and 8:1 and through 8:4. But I want you to look at this. Romans 8:1.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit.
Okay, hold it right there just a second. Read that first sentence again.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus.
Okay, stop right there. If you pay attention, every time you hear any one of these scriptures that talks about there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, that's where they'll stop right there. That's where they stop. I hardly ever hear anybody read the next line. Now that's in the Bible three or four times. Just like this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But that's not all it says. Now, some people say, but that's the King James Bible, and only the King James has that. The rest of them don't have it. Okay, that may be true. And I'll agree that there is some other Bibles that don't have the rest of that scripture. But let's go on and read the next verse.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
Okay, praise God. And that's true. And it has. Okay, and now let's read on a little further. Read on.
For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh.
Read on.
That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh.
Hold it. Hold it. Do you see it? One more time, read that sentence again.
That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh.
Okay, now then, if you walk after the flesh, then this scripture, this blows this whole thing out of the water. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You're free. You can do anything you want to do. That is not what that says. Yeah, to those that walk not after the flesh. And the flesh, Galatians 5:19 through 22. Let's go to Galatians 5:19. Okay.
That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Yeah, okay. So you have to, if you want to be led by the Spirit of God, you want to see there, you want to live in a life where there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, you keep doing what you're supposed to do by walking led by the Spirit. Now, if you're led by the flesh, let me tell you what this will do to you. Here's what happens when you tell people they're okay, that they can do anything they want to. Once you get saved, once saved, always saved, you can do anything you want to do. People that hear that, they run around on their mate. They lie to one another. They steal and they cheat and they do all kinds of things. And then they wonder why their world falls apart. But I'm a Christian. But how about this? It ain't working for you. Why is it not working for you? Because you're being led by the flesh. Now let's go to this Galatians 5:19 and let's see what it says happens to those that are led by the flesh. What does that say?
Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness.
Wow.
Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in the time past, that they which do these such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Okay, now let's stop and just analyze that for just a second. If you've been into a church that says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, you can do anything you want to do, you better really check out that system very well. Because if you have it ingrained in you that you're okay, and yet if you've been taught that there's therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ, and you're in Christ, you made Jesus Lord of your life. You accepted him as Lord and Savior. But now then you're out here living a life of drunkenness, you're on drugs, alcohol, sex, you name it, the sins that Cheryl just read to you. If you're living in those sins and you're a born-again Christian and you are in a car wreck and you get killed, from what she said, I heard her say clearly that you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Is that what she said? Huh?
Exactly.
So now then, you've been told all your life that it's better for Moses to be running the deal than it is for this bunch. So you're going to take that bunch instead of Moses. When you're over there on that side, what happened to them? The ground went away, didn't it? And they fell. I can just hear them now screaming with their wives, their children, their animals. Everything was being led by the flesh. And they fell into the depths of the burning pits of hell. You reckon those people that fell down there would like to have another chance?
Oh,
I can't imagine them not wanting another chance. Let me tell you, everybody wants another chance. And I'm glad we got a God of second, third, and fourth chance. But don't keep putting him to the test. You know, straighten your act up. I mean, straighten your act up. If you want to see God answer your prayer and do things for you, he says he will not hear the prayer of a sinner. If you got sins unconfessed in your life and you're not going to walk holy before God, when he says, love everybody, I command you. And the boss, he was very adamant about that, wasn't he? I command you to love one another. Is that what he said? But Lord, he's not a very good boy. I don't like him. Isn't that sad? And so we wind up with all these problems. I'll tell you something I think. I can't really prove this from Scripture, but it appears to work like this. If somebody's being led by the flesh, and they're not being led by the Spirit, they are God's child, and they're doing things wrong, I believe that God will do everything he can to put you in another direction, to get you away from that sin. Do you believe that? What if you continue? In fact, I had a man the other day that was told, he'd overdosed on drugs. He'd done all kinds of things wrong. I had him in my office a few weeks ago, and I told him, I said, son, are you a Christian? He said, yes, I am. I said, well, let me tell you, I don't know how much more time God's going to give you, but I'm going to guarantee you that if you keep messing with these drugs, he's going to cut you off and kill you. He said, God's a loving God. He would never kill me. I said, you hadn't read the book very good. I said, that book clearly says, I kill. In fact, Deuteronomy 32:39. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 32:39, and I want you to see the God that we're talking about here. He didn't cut any corner. Deuteronomy 32:39, I want you to see what he says he will do and what he will do. Read that, honey. Deuteronomy 32:39. What's wrong?
I don't know. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, and I make alive. I wound, and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand.
Does that sound like a loving, sweet God? What do you think, son?
That sounds pretty brutal to me.
In other words, if he wants to give you a butt busting, he can do it, can't he?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And it don't make a difference how big you are. He's bigger, right?
Yes, sir.
We both know that. Yeah, the reason I pick on him, because he was picking up 725 pounds the other day, and it broke his knee. So you talk about messing with a young man. If I was going to pick one to mess with, it wouldn't be him. That's for sure. Just think, his body, he was picking up a 725 or 728 or something like that,
yes,
weight. And he bends his knee or whatever, and it just breaks his leg. He's got that much weight on him. But God, he's healed him. I mean, they said he might never walk in another, but he's standing on God's word, and God healed him. He used him mightily. But one thing he knows who the boss is. He learns to know who the boss is, and he guaranteed, because that scripture that I read there clearly says that if I'm led by the flesh and not by the Spirit. Now, if I'm led by the Spirit, am I going to be out there living a sin?
No,
I ain't going to be out there doing that. I ain't going to be out there drugging all this stuff. And I told that boy in my office, I said, son, if you don't quit, I don't know how much time God will give you. But I said, he may not have much left. He's been doing this a long time. I told him, I said, you have no idea. I said, God can vary in his timing. But I said, I know a little girl. I used to go to the Baptist church where I went, Justin, Texas, about 15 years old. I knew her daddy. His daddy, was in my Sunday school class. I said, one day that daddy came to me and told me, said, Thurman, my daughter's moved in with a boy she ain't married to. Will you go talk to her? I said, sure, I will. So I went up there and talked to her, and she'd moved in with a boy, and I asked her, I said, I saw you walk down the aisles, a little 10 or 12 year old girl. I said, did you really believe Jesus is your Lord and Savior? She said, I do. He is really my Savior. I said, okay. I said, young man, do you know Jesus? He says, no. I don't want to know him. He said, I don't believe in Christian stuff. So I said, but son, I said, this girl right here, she says she's a Christian. You're not a Christian. And her God clearly tells her to not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. So I said, she's not supposed to be yoked with you. And for sure, she's not supposed to be living with you without being married to you. But even if she come to me and asked me if she could marry you and you say you're not a Christian, I tell her, absolutely no way. Don't you touch him. I said, you're not a believer, because I said, our God knows what happens when you put a believer and an unbeliever together. So I said, you need to move out, young lady. And she said, well, I'm not going to do it. She said, I'm going to live here with him. I love him. I'm going to stay with him. I said, young lady, I want to tell you something. The scripture clearly says in 1 Corinthians 3:16-17, that if you defile your temple with anything, but sexual immorality will definitely defile your temple. I said, God says he will destroy your temple. She says, well, what does that mean? I said, God will kill you. She knew I'd lost my mind. Thurman, you know God would never kill me. Did that scripture we just read a while ago say he would?
Yeah, it sure
does. Did this other one, did it say that if we defile our temple, he will destroy our temple?
Yeah.
It sure does. So I told her, I said, I don't know how long God will give you, but he sent me to tell you the truth. I said, you need to get rid of this boy and you need to stop living with him. Well, she said, I'm not going to do it. I love him. I'm going to live with him. Okay. So about 3, 4, 5 months later, a young lady living with a young boy, usually what happens? They get pregnant. That's exactly what happened to her. She got pregnant. And so her daddy comes see me again. Thurman, will you please go talk to her? So I went up there and talked to her, and she said, no, she wasn't going to move out. She's going to stay there. Make a long story short, over the next 5 years, I went to that house 3 times in the next 5 years. That girl had 3 babies in 5 years. She's not married to the guy, was not at all. The last time I was there, I told her, I said, honey, I don't know, but since God sent me directly, he sent me to tell you what his word says, that if you defile your temple, he will destroy your temple. I said, I don't know how thin the ice is you're walking on, but I don't believe it's very thick where you are. I said, now, if you hadn't had nobody to come tell you the truth, you might get to live a few more years. But I said, God sent me to tell you, his word says you're defiling your temple by living in sexual immorality. And I said, he says in his word that he'll destroy your temple. Is that what he said? She said, Mr. Scribner, you know God will forgive me. He's a God of love. He would never hurt me, much less kill me. I said, well, that's not what the word says. So she said, well, I'm not moving out. I said, okay. So I walked off. About a month or 6 weeks later, her daddy called me and said, Thurman, my daughter went to bed with that boy last night, and she had her third baby, and the child's a little over a month old, and said, this morning, the man woke up and the baby woke up, but said, my daughter had had a massive heart attack last night and she's dead. Massive heart attack at 22 or 23 or whatever, 21, 5 years after she was 15. Bring three children into the world, living with a man. Now then, somebody asked me, why did God do that? Well, first of all, his word says he'll do that. He clearly says, if you're living in sexual immorality, I will destroy your temple. Now then, I've been asked that question by lots of people. Why did God kill that one? I know others that have lived with somebody far longer than that and nothing happened. Well, I've seen that too. So I don't know all the answers because I'm not God. I don't know, but I do know one thing. I know he sent me 3 times. You know, it's a difference that if I go to your house and 3 times say, young lady, you quit this sinning.
That's right.
That's different than if nobody ever goes, they might never have heard it. And maybe they didn't go to a church that preached that sexual immorality was a sin. So if not, God is a merciful God, is he not?
Yeah.
He will make sure he gives you plenty of chances to know that I'm telling you the truth. He'll send Scott. I mean, he'll send him to people's houses and talk to people all kinds of times. And he shares with me on a regular basis the number of men and women that he shares with, that he's telling them that, you know, this sin, this causes this to happen in your body. They didn't know that. Amazing. He was telling me just the other day, he said, I was at a church and one of the men there was talking about it, didn't understand why some people are lost. He said, I got the answer. He said, I learned it. It's right here in the book. It says, if any be lost, they're lost because the God of this world has blinded their mind to the truth. And so I said, he said, the man looked at it and thought, you know, I didn't know that was in the Bible. You know, that's why we don't get nothing done, because we don't know it's in the Bible. And I believe that God must be merciful and give us a little more time sometimes when we don't know it's in there. But he also told you to study so you wouldn't sin against him, right? So anyway, this girl, she didn't do what she said. And so I just stand in awe. In fact, the reason that story comes back to me so often, because I very rarely do I go to the cemetery anymore to look at my daughter, my ex-wife, my wife's grave. But when I stand there where they're both buried, Amanda's buried right there and Betty's buried right there. I can stand between them and I can look right yonder. And there's that girl's tomb, the little girl that wouldn't believe that God would kill you. But he did. But does he say in the word he'll kill you? I mean, if God says, I'll kill you. And then if he says, if you defile my temple, I will destroy your temple. What does he mean when he says all that? You reckon he really is a God that means what he says? In fact, when Cheryl and I was down at Daystar the other day, there was one of the girls there that's in the singer group. She was over there talking to me, and she asked me a couple of questions. I told her, I said, well, that answer is in the Bible. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, quote it. Oh, she said, I've read that. She says, you don't really think God really meant that. I thought, I mean, if he didn't mean it, why did he put it in the book? Was he just putting things? I mean, did he say, I sent my word to heal you? Did he just do that to give us a hype, thinking that someday we might get healed? Or did he say, mean, I will heal you if you believe? Is that what he said? I sent my word and healed you. So if he sent his word and healed us, he's a God that'll heal us, won't he, Scott?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you ask a man that knows the word, you heard his thought. He didn't have to hesitate, did he? He knows what God will do because he's seen him do it over and over and over and over. Just think, what if this is the year that the Lord does return? I mean, for the rapture. I mean, I realize that after the rapture takes place and he takes us all away, the church, and I hope everybody in this room gets to go. Because if you don't get to go, you're not going to like the next 7 years if you live 7 years. You may not live seven. But, you know, I do know one thing. Those that get left, he says those that get left will have to remain faithful up to death, or you will not be allowed in the kingdom of God. Isn't that what it says? Lord, I thank you for those people that you give another chance. Lord, there's people that need another chance. There's people that don't know. But Lord, I ask you to light our fire so we will go and tell those people where they're walking, that they'll quit sinning, that they'll realize that when you said, be ye holy, for I am holy, you mean what you say, so that people will be holy. And then, Lord, help us to pray for people, lay hands on people, and do what you said so we can see you heal people. Because we know that you love to heal your people. We've seen you answer too many prayers here and answer too many people, too many prayer requests. We know it. And all we got to do is build our faith. And when we build our faith and see them do things, you will do things for them every time. Lord, thank you for the word. Thank you that you are the King of Kings that is coming soon. And it could be very soon. But Lord, if you come this year, get us all ready. Let us be the kind of men and women that will walk holy in your presence, walk in obedience to your word, walk being led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Because the flesh is so weak. That beast is a beast. We all have one of them, the flesh. But help us, Lord, to walk holy in your presence, to be led by the Spirit, to do the things of the Spirit, to produce fruits of the Spirit, and not fleshly things. Lord, I just praise you that you are the God that wants to do good things for all of your people, and your mercies are new every morning, and you do great and mighty things for your people every morning, every day. Lord, if you wasn't a merciful and mighty and loving God, I wouldn't be here. I'd have been dead a long time ago. But I'm grateful that you are a merciful, mighty, mighty, wonderful, awesome, merciful God. Now then that I'm beginning to learn the truth, help me to walk holy in obedience to your word. I don't want to sin, Lord. I don't want no sin. I want to walk clean and pure and holy. I want to love everybody. I don't care what they do to me or what they say to me. I do not want to retaliate with nothing but love. I want to see your love flow through my life, because I know that when you commanded me to love everyone, when I master that love walk, and without you, I know I can't do it, but with you, I can do it. And Lord, when I learn to master the love walk, there will be no limitations to these prayer requests. Like the things you're already doing just between Cheryl and I and what we're reading, Lord, it just absolutely blows me away. The mighty answers to prayer that Cheryl and I are seeing you do. When I see a Down syndrome child healed overnight, that's awesome, Lord. But Lord, with you, Ephesians 3:20, you clearly told us that you're the God that can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can even think or imagine, according to the power that worketh in us. Lord, put that power in us. Drive us to be children that will read and study and listen to and hear the word, so we'll be putting that powerful stuff, the word of God, in us and getting rid of the junk of the world. We don't need the junk of the world in there. We need the power of the Spirit of the living God in us. So when we pray, Lord, I want to get to the point where all these people, it makes no difference what they write, what they need, what their request is. And Lord, we're beginning to see that already, that whatever their requests are, you're answering those prayer requests. Whatever Cheryl and I, when we remit their sins, it's like you clean their slate. You wipe that slate clean, Lord. Because you clearly said in your word in John 20:23, whosoever sins we remove, we forgive, they are forgiven. They are forgiven. Lord, use us this week for your glory. Don't let us be just normal people no more, Lord. We don't want to be normal people. We want to be men and women that talk about you and see your grace and your mercy and see your power. See people get healed. And Lord, I think about when Cheryl was reading about that child that had the epileptic seizure, and after we prayed the curse off and everything, within 30 minutes the child was released from the hospital and went home. All the symptoms were gone. Lord, I think of the children that I prayed for that has epileptic seizures, and how many I've seen you heal. Numerous, numerous children. Unbelievable. If we get in the flesh. But in the spirit, we know there's nothing impossible with you. So when we pray, Lord, when we pray, let us pray in faith. Let us not waste a breath. Let us pray every prayer in faith, nothing wavering, so that you can do some great and mighty things for all this hurting world out there. Lord, the world is hurting. The world needs Jesus Christ. So help us be that living example of Jesus Christ, so that anybody that comes in contact with us, when they touch us, whenever they speak to us, don't let that person go away, and Lord, unless we have talked to them about Jesus. Led them to Christ. That's what it's all about, getting people to know Jesus. The restaurants, Lord, when we go and eat, let us always pray over everything we eat and drink. Let us be a living example of you. Let us not be ashamed of the word of God. Thank you, Father. We are so grateful that you are the mighty God and you direct our paths. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I praise you and thank you and worship you for being the King of kings and Lord of lords. Open our hearts and minds to be the men and women you want us to be. Lord, we need to be through with just playing church. We need to be sons and daughters of God that's about your business, that's doing something for your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.